We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
In this portion of the program, my guests are two book lovers. So what do you think they recommend for gift giving? Books, of course. My guests are Deborah Stevenson and Catherine Quealy Gaynor. Deborah Stevenson is assistant professor in library and information science at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. She's also editor of the Bulletin of the Center for Children's Literature. And she will serve on the 2010 Newbery Award Committee. My second guest this afternoon, Catherine Quealy Gaynor. She's assistant editor of the Bulletin of the Center for Children's Literature. And the two of them are with me this afternoon to talk about this year's guide to children's gift books. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
So where can we find this guide?
It is downloadable from our website, and I believe the URL will be available to your listeners. It is free. All you have to have is the internet access and the ability to click on it, and you can get yourself a 20-something page guide of books that we think that people might enjoy getting as gifts.
Okay. And how long has the Center for Children's Books been compiling a list of suggestions for children's gift books?
We've done this annually online for approximately the last 7 years. We did a print version several years before that and decided to switch to electronic, and we compile it anew every year so that the material is fresh and in print and that we make sure that we add the stuff that has delighted us in the recent year.
Okay. And then, Catherine, are these all new books?
Most of them are books published within the last 3 years.
Okay.
Like Deborah said, we like to keep it fresh, and every year we add our new selections.
How many children's books do you review in the course of the year at the center?
Quite a few. We receive from publishers anywhere between 5,000 and 6,000, I think is a conservative estimate.
Wow.
And we review probably 800 to 900. It's usually about 75 to 100 books a month. So, and we put out 11 issues in a year.
Yeah. So you're always reading.
Yes, we are.
Is there on this list, as they say, something for everyone?
Absolutely. We make a point of keeping in mind not only that there are different tastes in readers, that there are also different tastes in gift givers. So there's room for people to give highly irreverent material, or loving material to small children, or shared reads for older teens. There is fantasy and reality. There's nonfiction and fiction. There's poetry and picture books.
And, Catherine, the list is divided roughly by audience age. What are the age categories you've included?
Well, we have picture books, which is basically for the younger set. And then we have books for young readers, which we kind of say grades 1 to 3 or 6 to 8 years old. And then we have books for middle readers, which are grades 4 to 6 or 9 to 11 years, and books for older readers, which is pretty much 7th grade or above. And, you know, you should be aware that those are just sort of our estimates, and you are going to know your reader better than
mm-hmm.
anybody.
Sure.
So take that into account.
Okay. Would each of you share a couple of your favorites from this year's list? Describe them and tell us what it is that you like about them.
Oh, only a couple? I really adore a novel called The Evolution of Calpurnia Tate, and it was the anniversary of Darwin's birth this year, and we got a lot of nonfiction. This is more of a fictional tribute that's kind of oblique. It's a wonderful historical novel about a girl in Texas just at the dawn of the 20th century who's in a feisty and loving and very funny big Texas family. And she's kind of overlooked in there, and she actually decides that she's very interested in the natural world around her. and she tries to get a copy of The Origin of Species from the library, and the librarian is having none of it. That horrible, dreadful book, she cannot be seen to have it. And she finds an ally in her prickly and difficult grandfather, who turns out to be rather an amateur scientist himself. So she's opening up into the natural world and also into the possibilities for her in the future.
Yeah, okay, you want to take a turn, Catherine?
Sure. One of my favorite picture books of this year is Can You Make a Scary Face by Jan Thomas. And this is a wonderfully interactive book. The narrator is a rather bossy ladybug, and he basically plays a game of Simon Says with the kids. Stand up, sit down, can you make a scary face? And towards the end, he gets a bit of a surprise himself when a rather large frog comes along, and he doesn't really take to the ladybug's bossing all that well. So that one's quite fun.
You mentioned an activity book there, a book that would get people involved with one another. Are there other activity books on the list?
Well, there's books for interaction that way, but there's also like craft and how-to mm-hmm. books. One of my favorites that I love telling people about is called 100% Pure Fake. And it's a how-to book for how to make fake gross things like fake blood and fake barf and fake poo, some of which could be made to be edible.
Oh, boy.
We've tested them.
You guys must have an awful lot of fun.
Oh, yes, we do.
Greasy, grimy gopher guts and me without my spoon.
Exactly. Yum.
Okay. Catherine, tell us about another favorite of yours.
I really enjoyed, it's sort of a picture book slash graphic novel. It's called The Dunderheads by Paul Fleischman, and it falls in that kind of younger reader range, 6 to 8 years. And it's very much in the tradition of Roald Dahl and Edward Gorey in that it's a rather subversive tale about a group of kind of misfit kids who have a rather tyrannical teacher and managed to, of course, overcome her. What I find most interesting about it is the illustrations, because as I mentioned, it is a bit of a graphic novel, and it's also some of the spreads don't include the traditional formats or elements of graphic novels, such as the panels, but it still is really executed quite well.
Okay. Subversive. I got to like that one.
Yeah.
Give that one and you're going to be a hit with the children, I think. Now, what advice do you have for someone who's selecting a book for a child who perhaps doesn't get to see the child very often? Maybe it's only around the holidays or a special occasion. So maybe they're not quite acquainted with where the child is in terms of reading ability or interests. Do you have some advice for us?
Well, if it's an absolute blank slate, I'd say one of the things you can do is talk to your local children's librarian and find out what kids are liking right now of that age. Because Kate, for instance, is a practicing librarian as well at the Urbana Free Library, and they're very informed people.
Yes, yes, we are. We can usually help you out with suggestions. And I think when you really don't know anything about the kids' reading abilities, the first step is maybe contact the parents and ask them a few questions. And if you don't have time for that, I think going with some of the more popular stuff that's out there is a pretty safe bet. For your younger readers, grades probably 2 to 4, I know the Wimpy Kids series is quite popular right now. So getting all 4 of those books, you will be someone's hero if you do that.
Do you folks review audiobooks for young people?
We don't. We simply don't have the scope to review
sure.
beyond what we already get to. We are strongly in favor of them. I think they're a wonderful tool. And I know a lot of adults who work in children's literature read them, listen to them extensively. I think it's kids are less likely to have that commute problem where they need
right.
something to listen to in the car.
Right.
But if they do, I encourage them to use audiobooks as well.
Yeah. And Catherine, does the Urbana Free Library have a collection of audiobooks for young readers?
Yes, they do. And you can find that in the children's department.
Uh-huh.
Just ask at the information desk and we'll take you right there.
Okay. Last question for each of you. What was your favorite book? You have to select one. We're out of time. When you were growing up.
I was one of those horsey girls. Ah. So I loved the horse books. And there was an author who had great books about girls who went into sports and were just fabulous equestrians and won things. And that was Dorothy Lyons. And I loved her books.
Okay.
Hands down, Ramona Quimby, age 8. I was a huge fan of Beverly Cleary. And I read that one until the spine was about to fall off.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Books, wonderful things to read, to give, to celebrate. And I want to thank my guests this afternoon, Deborah Stevenson, Assistant Professor in Library and Information Science at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, also editor of the Bulletin of the Center for Children's Literature, and Catherine Cleely Gaynor, Assistant Editor of the Bulletin, also a librarian at the Urbana Free Library. And they have joined me this afternoon to talk about this year's Guide to Children's Gift Books. And we'll have a link to the URL on our website, The Afternoon Magazine, at will.illinois.edu.